Our Untangled Minds is for informational purposes only, and it does not constitute professional, medical, or psychological advice, diagnoses, and/or treatment. Please make sure that if you do have questions or concerns that are medical or psychological in nature, that you seek out your physician or qualified mental health provider for future help. Furthermore, the information, viewpoints, or opinions expressed in this podcast are solely the views of individuals that are involved. They do not represent absolute fact and are subject to change at any point in time. CUSM does not accept responsibility for these views. Lastly, the names and details of any medical stories shared in this episode have been edited for privacy.
Welcome back to Our Untangled Minds. To start off season 5, we are inviting two fourth-year medical students who will be pursuing a neurology residency post-graduation. This episode will talk about how they discovered the path to neurology, and they will also share some tips for students who are still discovering their specialty, as well as for students interested in neurology. I am your host, Yu Ono, a first-year medical student here at CUSM. I am joined by two guests today, I and Alita, who are fourth years graduating in May. So, I and Alita, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're excited.
So, let's start off by kind of going over a brief intro to both of you on how you kind of got into medicine in the first place.
Hi, everybody. My name is Alita. So, how I originally got interested in neurology was actually when I was pretty young. I have a close family member who developed schizophrenia when I was around middle school, and so ever since I was really young, I've had an interest in studying the brain. And I actually wanted to do psychiatry for the longest time because my family member who has schizophrenia. But in college, I took a lot of psychology courses, and I realized I liked learning about the behavioral side of medicine, but I think I liked the neurobehavioral side. So learning about like the chemistry of the brain interested me a lot more. And then I joined a couple of research labs in college. So one of them was studying autism spectrum disorder as well as neuroimaging. And then the other lab was a molecular psychiatry lab where we studied GABA receptors with respect to Alzheimer's patients. And I found that fascinating, but it was also missing the patient care side of things. And so I knew that's when I wanted to go into neurology and go to medical school.
Thank you for the intro, Lita. I'm excited to kind of unpack it as we go because there's a lot packed into that introduction.
Oh, sorry.
No worries. We're so excited to have you today. And if you can give us your brief introduction on kind of how you got into medicine in the first place.
Yeah. So my story is pretty similar to Lita's as well. I think for me, it kind of started with my background as an ice skater. I would get injured a lot, and the doctors I saw were kind of the only people I knew in the realm of medicine. So at first, I was interested in sports medicine, actually. And then as I progressed in my career and kind of explored other stuff as well, I ended up with neurology, but ultimately, that's how I entered medicine.
Wonderful. So kind of getting into, going back to you, Alita, a little bit, you mentioned how your family member had schizophrenia. How do you think it impacted you initially?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it was really hard, for sure, growing up watching that. But I do think that something that I took away from it was that I maybe more empathy for people with mental illness, just because it can be a really overlooked population sometimes. And I've seen it with my family member. And so there can be a stigma with those kinds of patients. And so I think I have a lot more empathy in advocating for those patients. And so it made me really want to support them in any way that I can.
For sure. Thank you for sharing that with us. And kind of what I touched upon, you said your path kind of took a similar path to Alita's. Can you kind of expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. So for me, I got interested in the human brain and mind initially in high school. I took an AP psychology course, and that teacher was amazing. I was hooked. I was so interested. But around that time, my grandma also developed Alzheimer's as well. And it was kind of like an uncanny timing when everything happened at the same time. So my interest inside the classroom kind of started to expand outside the classroom as well. I wanted to find out why this was happening to my grandma. She was such an independent, powerful lady, and just kind of see how the disease was affecting her mind and also her lifestyle had a really huge impact on me. And after taking that psychology AP course, I moved on in undergrad, and psychobiology was a perfect mix for me. I got in as a biology major, but once I looked online, I realized there was a lot of plants, and I wanted to learn a lot more about humans. So once I saw that psychobiology was a possible major, which I later Googled and kind of met behavioral neuroscience, I knew that was the path for me, and I really enjoyed the major. And at UCLA, I got to explore a lot of research options as well. I initially joined the memory lab under the psychology department, where I got to do a lot of behavioral research. I also got to join the neurology department's a wet lab there, where it studied multiple sclerosis, and got to explore the neurological aspects of research as well. Thoroughly really enjoyed both. So when I first kind of got into med school, I had an interest in neurology and psychology as well, similar to Elita, but ultimately ended up choosing neurology down the line.
Thank you for sharing that as well. And it's kind of crazy to think about how both of you experienced like a family member going through and getting like a chronic illness and kind of dealing with that at a very critical time point when you guys were growing up. And it can see how much it has impacted you both individually as well as academically. And I think that's fascinating. You guys both touched on kind of the aspect of behavioral science and things like that. How did you guys kind of pursue that and find out if like that's something you wanted to pursue further in terms of academia? Did you guys go down that path, or perhaps kind of went to a different route?
That's a good question. I think for me, I had time to think about what I wanted to do. I took 2 gap years after graduating from undergrad, and during that time I spent a good deal doing research. And while I really enjoyed the time I was in the lab, I found myself missing that human-to-human interaction, that patient connection, and that kind of ultimately led to the path of medicine instead of doing like a PhD in behavioral neuroscience.
Yeah, I gotta say, I agree with when I was doing a lot of research in undergrad, I loved learning about the brain, and the research was fascinating, and I loved finding the correlates between like diagnostic imaging with behavioral dysfunction. But I wanted to be more on the patient care side of things. I wanted to actually interact with patients and their families and help them get through these difficult times. And so that's when I knew that research wasn't going to be enough for my career. I needed to go more into neurology, or something to do with patient care.
Gotcha. Kind of going off of that, since you guys decided that, oh, like patient care is something I'm passionate about, something I want to pursue, which kind of naturally led you to pursuing medical school. I have met a lot of like fellow first year students who don't know what they're doing in terms of specialty yet. They're kind of trying to figure that out. It seems like both of you kind of had an idea of perhaps something to do with the brain. Have you ever had a moment where you're like, oh, perhaps another specialty is interesting? Or maybe you had moments where you're like, oh, maybe you want to specialize something specific within neurology? Is that something you guys are going through right now? I know it's like a loaded question. So it's just starting off with, what was your idea coming into medical school? Were you pretty dead set on neuro, or were you open to trying other specialties as well?
I was pretty set on neurology from the beginning. So during my first year, there weren't a lot of resources for students yet because we were a pretty brand new school and we didn't have a lot of student interest groups. And I noticed there wasn't a neurology student interest group yet. So I founded the student interest group in neurology during my first year. And then that was one of my favorite experiences. But we got to work a lot more with the neurologists that we're affiliated with. And so that helped me gain exposure to the field of neurology, and also doing the neurology block. I mean, it can be a little bit daunting during your second year and doing the neurology block. Everybody says it's the most difficult one, but I wouldn't let that discourage anybody, because when you get to third year and you do your core neurology clerkship, it's a really different experience. Like the day-to-day practice of neurology is not at all what you would think after going through a neurology block for 10 weeks. But for me, when I did my neurology rotations, that experience was really rewarding, I think, because some of them have very debilitating diseases and you're there through maybe like some of the worst times in their life, and maybe there's not a lot of treatment and cures, but you can really be there for them and make a big difference in their lives. And that day-to-day practice really suited me personally, and that's when I knew that I don't want to just study the brain and go into another specialty. Like, that was the right specialty for me. I mean, I considered psychiatry for a while too, of course, but for me, it relied on a lot of empiric treatments and trial and error, and I really want to look for more, like, biomarkers and clinical correlates to, like, diagnostic imaging and testing, and see if we can find more biomarkers for psychiatric disorders. And yeah, that was why I love neurology.
Thank you.
And I?
Yeah, I'm similar to Lita in the sense that I came in to med school with an interest in neurology. I was part of the founding members for the student interest group of neurology as well. So definitely a clear interest, but like a lot of people said, keep an open mind. A lot of students change their interests halfway through medical school. So I definitely kept that advice and considered and explored other specialties during my clerkship year in third year. Internal medicine was my very first rotation I had, and surprisingly, I enjoyed it. I liked the longitudinal care I got to have with my patients during their hospitalization, but I found myself kind of struggling with, I guess some people might say, jack of all trades, where you have to know a little bit of everything in internal medicine, and I kept on coming back to how I prefer I think my personality fit better for a consultant where I get to be a specialist in the more focused realm of things. And then what helped also with neurology is that there's so much diversity within neurology, and I think it speaks to how many fellowships there are within neurology as well. So I knew that by choosing neurology, I wasn't being too narrow-scoped, I guess, for the lack of a better word. There's enough diversity within neurology that I knew I wouldn't get bored at all. There's so much mysteries to be solved within neurology as well. The human brain is fascinating. I think another reason why I like neurology is that there's so much room for research as well. Research has been something that's been important to me. I loved doing it during undergrad, and I definitely wanted to keep doing it in my medical career as well. So when thinking about all my passions and my personality, neurology felt like the best fit for me. The rotation at Arrowhead definitely kind of confirmed what I already liked about neurology. But I think what rang it home for me was actually attending the AAN's annual meeting. AAN is the American Academy of Neurology. Their annual meeting in Seattle, where I got to go with Elita, actually, I had such a fantastic time. I really felt at home. Like, everyone there was nice. I really felt like I fit in with the neurologists there. They felt like they were my crew. And that really sealed the deal for me.
That sounds like an amazing experience. I wanted to kind of touch on the fact that both of you mentioned a little bit about research. Alita, you talked about some biomarkers potentially. And I, you mentioned how research was a huge component of you kind of drawn to neurology. Do you guys both see yourself doing research later on as like a resident or perhaps as a practicing physician later on in life?
Yeah, for me, I've been interested in the physician scientist track since I was an undergrad and throughout med school as well. Since I am interested in pursuing a fellowship after residency, I am definitely planning on doing research as a resident. I think what type of research I'll be doing is kind of up in the air. I think I'll see once I start my residency, but QI projects I know are definitely a thing, and hopefully I can find some mentors as well.
Can you expand on what QI projects are?
Yeah, quality improvement projects. So I think most hospitals have several quality improvement projects that are going on, and they're usually something residents can help out with.
Sounds great. Alita, how about you?
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in research. I love doing research in the past, and I know that that's going to be something that I want to incorporate in my future career. I don't think I want it to be maybe the main focus of my career, but I do think it's so important to have those research skills and be able to understand like the current fields of neurology as well, so I try to stay involved in it. And I'm probably, like I said, I'm interested in neurobehavioral research, but I think I might take more in the direction of education and medical education.
Very cool. And you guys both mentioned how you guys were the founding members of our student interest group. How was starting that up like? Was that a fun experience for you guys? It seems like you got a good connection out of it as well.
Absolutely. That was one of my favorite experiences at CUSM. We worked to build up sign together, and we met some of our other classmates that we had some common interests with. And I've absolutely loved it. It was fun not only meeting other classmates and getting to build something together, but also like meeting the neurologists at Arrowhead and kind of getting to know them even better before our clerkships. And I got to shadow a little bit in the hospital, and I felt like it was something that we could also give back to our school and help our other classmates who maybe don't know what they want to do quite yet, and provide some resources for them to help them understand like the day-to-day life of a neurologist, or like what you need to get your application together and be like a strong candidate for applying neurology. That was really rewarding, and I just absolutely loved that. And that was probably one of the things that pushed me more in the direction of medical education, was because I enjoyed that.
Yeah, we also got to host like a lumbar puncture workshop. Mm-hmm. We also hosted neurologists from outside of Arrowhead as well, I think, where they can talk about their specific
subspecialties
that they decided to pursue. So it kind of opened the door for students on what a neurologist can be.
Well, it seems like this group provided a great amount of resources for you guys who are interested in pursuing neurology. Are there any other like resources or opportunities that you guys found were like really key to basically sealing the deal for you to be like, yes, like I am even more committed to neurology? I know you touched on a conference, if you want to kind of talk a little bit more about that experience.
The American Academy of Neurology has a lot of resources for trainees, both at the medical student level and the resident physician level. Just becoming a member will connect you with so many resources. And the next step would be to attend the annual meeting, I would say. They have a lot of scholarships for medical students who are interested in attending, whether it's being virtual or in person. So I highly recommend anyone who's interested in pursuing neurology or even exploring neurology to just apply for the scholarship. From my personal experience, I think they're very generous with the scholarship, and they have a fantastic program for medical students as well.
I've got to agree. The American Academy of Neurology, or AAN, is affiliated with our student interest group in neurology, so we got to kind of work with them sometimes. But the annual meeting that we went to, I think last year, that was, I got to agree with I, that was like one of the most inspirational events that I've gone to at medical school, where you're just surrounded by these amazing neurologists from really different backgrounds who are really enthusiastic and love what they do. And they had a lot of resources there. In addition to like connecting you with mentors, they gave us like a research boot camp that was directed towards medical students, which I absolutely loved.
I gotta say, they had amazing speakers at the research boot camp. Yes. They were all badass people giving the talk.
And a lot of women.
Lots of women, lots of female representation.
Yeah, I love to hear that. That sounds wonderful. Do you think these like resources, these conferences, these experiences, do you think they kind of influence people differently depending on whether you have an inkling of interest in neurology or you're like very set on neurology? Like, what if someone who maybe neurology isn't on their radar right now, like if they're able to experience some kind of neuro-related thing, like what would you recommend? Do you still recommend them to go to like these conferences? Like, where should they start?
Absolutely. I gotta say too, like, here at Arrowhead, we still have a brand new residency program. So you don't have that face-to-face time with residents all day that are really passionate about going into neurology. And so going to that conference and meeting everybody who is really enthusiastic, for me, that was like, oh my gosh, yeah, like there is, like, I do love this field and the people that are in it too. And it really, yeah, it really like cemented, like, okay, this is what I want to do with my career. And I would highly recommend anybody that is even considering neurology a little bit to definitely get involved. Just meet the people and see how, you know, they enjoy their career and how satisfying it is, and even just how happy they are. You know, those are going to make a big difference on our lives. I think it would make a big difference for me if I was wavering on which specialty that I was going to choose.
Yeah, and I think after COVID, there's a lot of virtual options for conferences as well. So if you don't want to make the commitment to fly out to somewhere for a conference, I think signing up for an in-virtual option is definitely like something to consider for sure. I will say also for COSM, neurology is a core rotation, which means we would have to do it as a third-year student. So that's also just a great way to get your foot into the door if you have an inkling of interest in neurology. I would think about when you want to do it during your third year so that you'll give yourself ample time for when it comes time to applying for away rotations as a fourth year.
Going off of the idea of being exposed to neurology during our third year, I know some of my classmates currently as first years, especially those who don't know exactly what specialty they're drawn to, they feel a little bit stressed about preparing in the long run for residency applications, how to be competitive if they later on end up wanting to be a neurologist, for example. Do you have any tips for them? Or is there anything specific that like neurology residencies you think are looking for when they're looking at an applicant?
I think there's two questions in that one question. The first question, I think, is tips that you would have for first and second year students who are trying to think of what specialty they might be interested in. And to them, I would say, I think that's completely fair. Don't worry, don't stress out too much. You have time to explore. Third year will really give you a better idea of what you like. My advice is be honest with yourself. Be honest with what your values are. Realistically, how many hours will you be happy with spending at the hospital? How many hours would you want to be, you know, have to yourself with your family, to yourself at home, free time, things like that?
Also, like when you're on rotations, on any rotation, like the biggest factor when it comes to working with anybody and performing well, you know, you're still a student at this stage. They don't expect you to know everything. I feel like the one thing that they're really looking for if you want to perform well and impress any rotations is be enthusiastic. And, you know, if you really enjoy it, like show them, you know, and get to know them because they're going to really see that. And if, you know, if you really do love neurology, it's going to show. And that's what they want to see. They want to be able to work with you, enjoy working with you, and have a good teammate.
For sure.
I would think one thing to keep in mind is when you find yourself enjoying a rotation, ask yourself, are you enjoying this rotation because of what you're seeing on a day-to-day basis, like the pathology of the patients? Or are you enjoying this rotation because the attending is amazing? They're a great teacher. You have great teammates. Is that why you're enjoying this rotation? I would be careful when you're having these thoughts. Be sure to kind of tease apart the two.
That's a good tip. And considering kind of we're talking about the day-to-day life as well, like how would you guys describe a day-to-day life of a neurologist? Like, does that depend on how you practice, like at the hospital versus outside of the hospital? Can you kind of give us a short, this is the general, and then we can add some details here and there?
Absolutely, yeah. So you can either be a hospitalist, which you're going to do all inpatient, or some people only do outpatient and, you know, you're going to have more reliable hours there. Some people do a combination. And then there's also options for other things too. If you subspecialize down the road, there's like telemedicine, stroke teams. There's also like neural IR if you want to do something more with your hands and procedures. There are so many different lifestyle options for neurology down the road. So all those things are important to consider. Also, like if you want to have a family or how much time you want to spend in the hospital, like I was saying, yeah, lots of options.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's very diverse, very open to flexibility. Your lifestyle would really depend on which type of setting you're working in as well. Academic versus community versus county would look very different. Private practice is also something to throw in there as well. You can do a mixture of things. We talked about research earlier as well. I've seen faculty in academic centers where they do half-half, like half of the week during research and half of the week during clinic or something like that. And it can change throughout your career as well. I've seen like junior faculty, for example, who are trying to build a strong research portfolio. They can spend majority of their time doing research and have once a week clinic outpatient and then slowly kind of adjust as needed. So it's very flexible.
Sounds like there's a lot of options within neurology I wasn't aware of, so this is very interesting. And kind of figuring out that those many different paths, when you guys were applying to residency programs, did you guys already have an idea of what you specifically want your day-to-day life be like? And did that kind of change how you navigated which programs that you liked more than others? Or was that something that you guys are still figuring out right now?
Yeah, different residency programs have very different structures. So some of them are very clinical heavy. Some of them have more subspecialty exposures. And so if you want to go into a certain subspecialty, it's really important, like, if you're very interested in a very niche subspecialty, do they have faculty for that subspecialty? Are you going to get exposure to it? Because you want to be able to learn from them and know if you do or you don't want to do that. And then programs also vary a lot depending on, like, call schedules, which is a big one, like night float versus 24-hour calls. Yeah, whether it's an academic center or more of a community hospital is another big one. If you're going to go more into research, maybe you want to go to a more academic hospital where they have that kind of opportunity and accessibility. If you want to do fellowship, like, you probably want to go to an institution that is going to prepare you for fellowship more.
Gotcha. That sounds like a good amount of things to consider when we're going through residency later on, 3 years down the line, hopefully. Considering that you kind of mentioned that neurology is a field where you can potentially do a fellowship, is that something either of you are considering right now or something that you guys are interested in pursuing?
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in doing a fellowship after residency. Right now, I'm really interested in neuro-oncology. But I'm trying to keep my mind open. Movement disorders is something I've been interested in as well. Yeah, how about you, Alita?
Yeah, so I've always loved the neurobehavioral field of medicine. But I also want to keep my options open just because it's something that I've always wanted to do. I'm still considering other subspecialties because the brain is so fascinating, and, like, I just find myself thinking everything is so interesting every time I meet a new subspecialist. So I want to keep my options open, but I think I've always had my heart set on neuropsychiatry area. So yeah, I'll see. I just need more exposure.
Yeah, that's sure. What residency's for.
That's what residency's for, of course. And for our listeners who find themselves later on pursuing neurology as well, are there kind of any words of advice you have in general?
Well, words of advice just for applying for residency in general. During my third year, the third year was a lot, especially at our hospital. You know, sometimes we can work really long hours there. And I found myself, like, burning out sometimes because I was trying to juggle not only just doing well in rotations, but trying to put together, like, a good application. And just to, like, be kind to yourself and take a break. And, you know, you want to be prepared, but also just take care of yourself and prioritize your mental well-being. Yeah, but also, you know, if you are the least bit interested in this stuff, like, definitely try to get involved with, like, a student interest group in neurology. They have a lot of resources, American Academy of Neurology, and just try to meet some faculty if you're a little bit interested and chat with them. Just see how their lives are and if what they do seems interesting to you and if you want that kind of life and structure in the future.
Solid advice. Is there anything either of you would do differently if you guys were to go back to when you were first years? If you remember how you guys were when you were first years?
Try to be less stressed. Everything will work out the way it's supposed to be. Seems very cheesy, but I think try to enjoy the moment. Take care of yourself. Be less stressed. Try to enjoy things outside of medicine as well. Find the people.
Yeah, medical school, like, flew by way faster than I thought it would. So, like, I agree with that. I try to take the moments as they come and enjoy it, and just really focus on what's going to make you happy. That's going to be, you know, the rest of your life. So just take your time with it and just try to be present.
That's great advice. I think we're all, like, in the moments of being stressed and, like, figuring out what's going on as first years. So kind of getting that reminder to take it easy and also take care of yourself are very great points, I think. And kind of just, like, a fun question, since you guys both touched on taking care of yourself, what do you guys like to do outside of medical school? Nothing related to medicine.
I like to cook. I have a beautiful Notion page of accumulation of recipes that I've collected especially throughout dedicated period for STEP. So that was a great way for me to kind of take a break from studying, but also do something productive, because I know at the end of the day, I had to eat something. So
I've seen it. It's beautiful.
I enjoyed trying new recipes, and that was like one way I took care of myself.
Great. How about you, Alita?
I probably like to, I make like travel itineraries, like very detailed ones with pretty pictures, and that just makes me happy for some reason, because I get to anticipate and experience my travels for much longer than just the actual vacation. So I like doing that, and then I don't know, I play a lot of video games and like binge watch some Netflix shows, so.
Love that. Maybe organizing is like a key trait of neurologists is what I'm picking up on during this conversation. Since you guys had the match, congratulations on the match.
Thank
I know
you.
It was like a stressful time period leading up to the match.
Yeah.
For our listeners, the match is kind of where our M4 or fourth year medical students find out where they will be going for residency outside of after graduation, and maybe taking a trip and taking some like self time. They're off as doctors now in the work field. So how is that like for you guys? Like, are you feeling anxious about it? Are you excited about it? What's going on?
There's a lot of different emotions, I would say. I am absolutely thrilled and excited to start, but I'm also, I get like waves of anxiety. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's starting in 2 months. You know, now that I made it through this part, it's, you know, like I hope, you know, I've learned enough that I can care for patients and, you know, care for them as best I can, not make any mistakes, which, you know, like residency is for learning, so I need to remind myself that I'm not going to know everything when I first start. But overall, excitement and relief, as well as a little anxiety for me.
I agree. It was a huge relief to find out on match day that A, I have a job, and B, I get to stay in a location where I'm happy. And similarly, like, the anxiety is definitely there as well. Like, it's a mix of excitement and nervousness. Excitement for starting this next chapter of our lives, and nervousness for having that extra, the next step of responsibility, I would say. We're going to be, you know, in the middle of the totem pole, I guess, where we have medical students working with us, but also our seniors who have our backs as well. And I think it's a new adjustment to this next stage of our lives. So the anxiety is kind of there. But overall, exciting.
Yes. Mostly excited.
Mostly excited. That's what we like to hear. Where are you guys going to practice your residency at, if you don't mind me asking, of course?
Yeah, I am going to go back home, back to San Diego. I matched at UCSD.
Woo! Go UCSD!
Really happy about that.
Wonderful. And I'll be going to Loma Linda.
Staying local with us.
Yes. Serving the Inland Empire.
Wonderful. We need more Inland Empire practicing physicians as well. So I'm glad to hear that both of you are really happy with where you guys ended up. And finally, kind of concluding remarks, do you guys have any last words of wisdom for our listeners? Anything you want to tell us about, like a fun fact, anything random that you guys want to tell us?
I have a piece of advice that I wish I heard early on. I think throughout the residency interview trail, I had a lot of questions about, can you describe a situation where you were in a conflict with someone, whether it be another med student, a resident, attending, etc. Can you give an example of an interesting patient you saw, or a conflict even with the patient as well, and how did you deal with it? So for me, I was very fortunate, I think, that a lot of my interviews were immediately after my sabbis. So I had a lot of examples to share. But I think as a third year, I wish I had known about this as well, as I would kind of take mental notes down on examples of difficult situations and exciting and happy situations as well that I could have shared down the line during my interviews.
Great. Totally agree. When I was doing my interviews, was right after eyes. So it was during my neurology rotation, and it was so helpful because all the patients were fresh in my mind, and they'll ask you questions about, you know, like ethical dilemmas that you've seen or something, and it's just, you know, when you're thinking on the spot, it can be really hard to think of something off the top of your head. So it's, for me, like it was good to kind of keep like cases that I've seen fresh in my head and just remember them. To be able to talk about it and what you learn from it, I think that was really important, and that's what they're looking for.
Great, great words of advice. I'll definitely keep that in my mind when I'm going through rotations. And I feel like it comes back to the idea that Alita talked about earlier of be present. And I think it's really cool that you guys are moving on to the next step. And it's exciting to see our fellow CUSM fourth years graduate and continue the trend of making CUSM an even greater school and serving our community outside of our school as well.
Thanks for listening, everyone. If you have any questions, comments, or episode suggestions, please email us at oumpodcast@cusm.org. That's oumpodcast@cusm.org.